NFL agent Joe Linta. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Hey, Joe.
Thank you. What did the Giants need to do?
Well, they did the first thing. They got a good coach. When they got John Harbaugh, he's a snapper, really good coach. I think they're going to do very well with him. There's they got to look at defense. They may pick one of these Ohio State guys. There's four guys from Ohio State that could go in the top 12 picks, which is, like, I've never seen anything like this. And how they ever lost the game is amazing to me. But Giants, there's a lot of talk about the Giants picking this kid from Notre Dame, Love. Who's Jeremiah Love, who's very, very good. He's one of the better running backs to come out recently. And he's also a big damn wide receiver when they put him out there. So there's a lot of talk that the Giants could go that route. But more likely route is to go defense as one of these Ohio State guys. There are two premium pass rushers in this draft. One is a kid from Texas Tech named David Bailey, who came from Stanford. He's an absolute sure thing, 14 sacks. And then the guy with the higher upside is another one of these Ohio State guys, Arvell Reese, who ran like 4.46 at 250 pounds. I mean, the kid's freaky athletic. So the Jets, reverting back to the Jets, they have the number two pick. They'll pick one of those two guys, and then the Giants will have their choice at pick number five of the running back from Notre Dame or one of these Ohio State defensive guys. But I would say that's pretty much a lock of what they're going to do.
What's your life like when this is happening? Are you on the phone? Or are you in a room with a whiteboard?
Yeah.
What's your day like?
High blood pressure pills.
We kind of live, well, today and tomorrow, we kind of live at the end of the draft, so all of our guys will be picked on Saturday. So tonight is really just talking to a lot of guys, GMs, personnel directors, about what's going to happen on Saturday. We didn't end up signing anybody that gets drafted in the first or second round, frankly, because it's too much BS to sign these guys. So we like to evaluate the lower down the line players who hopefully make it big. Like Joe Flacco was a seventh round graded player when he came out. He ended up going in the first round, but when we signed him, he was a seventh round grade. So we like to evaluate players that don't get as much juice in the recruiting or in the scouting process, and then they develop down the road. That's why we're still in business.
Joe Flacco is a great story, and I'm surprised that's not a movie. That one season, I think it was 2013,
right,
where you guys were playing. Well, he was playing, and you were negotiating a deal for him, and you said Joe Flacco's a top five guy.
Yeah.
That became a top news story.
A mantra.
And debated fiercely for the next few days on all sports media platforms. It turns out you guys didn't do a contract. You wait until the end of the season, and guess what? Not only does Baltimore go to the Super Bowl, but they win the Super Bowl, and then there you are now with no contract.
How you look at me now?
And Joe Flacco, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because a lot of people at that time was like, well, that was the biggest contract ever at the time. And it's like, well, how'd you do that contract? And it actually was pretty easy because it's like, who's the highest paid guy in history? And we have to be above that. So that was pretty
easy. Set a mark over here and go past it.
Yeah, you beat that. We're good.
Right.
But what's crazy is now is that contract was landmark at the time, and it's like embarrassingly bad now because of inflation and the NFL being recession-proof. And I mean, it's absolutely crazy. It's crazy what these – I mean, if you all know about NIL stuff, it's crazy what college kids are making. There's college kids that are making $3 or $4 million.
What was that Flacco contract then?
$121 million.
Wow.
For –
5 years.
For 5 years.
Man, do 5 years and say bye.
What do you think that would be worth now if you negotiated that same situation?
Oh, 260, 270 million. I mean, it's the top guys now, the top five guys are getting in the 54 to 60 range. I think Dak Prescott's at 60 million a year now.
Wow.
So now when you're negotiating these deals, do you say, well, you know, the cost of gas, how much it costs to get a Big Mac
and
now?
Lunch,
like,
exactly.
My guy's got to live.
Right.
You know?
Well, they have a salary cap, so you kind of know, like, you know, the draft picks are all kind of slotted, so you know what they are. And, you know, it's interesting where you do have a little bit of leverage is when these guys aren't drafted, they're free agents, essentially. And you could say, well, look, you got to give me this much to sign, and, you know, we get guarantees on their salary, which draft picks actually don't get. A draft pick gets a signing bonus, and that's it. Nothing guaranteed beyond that. Whereas an undrafted guy could get X to sign, but then we could say, well, you're going to have to guarantee 200 of his salary. So, you know, the more leverage you have, obviously, the more money you can get in the form of these guarantees. So it's kind of changed, and it's fun and crazy, and the only thing I could make it equivalent to is like when you see the commodity pits in New York with the trading of wheat futures and stuff like that and how crazy it gets. It's literally like that for about 4 hours on Saturday. It's nuts and fun. It's a fun nuts, but it's fun.
NFL agent Joe Linta on the phone. Do you think it's weird that Vrabel won't be around for a couple of days of the draft?
Well, you know, I know both of these people. Diana used to work in Connecticut. I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but she used to be a reporter for one of the – it was either NBC 30 or FS. I don't remember.
It was NBC Connecticut.
Yeah. And she actually came down and did a story on my high school team at the time. And, you know, a bubbly personality and got to know her a little bit. And, you know, I don't know what happened there, but I know the best case is it's not a good look. Seems like Mike is admitting a mistake. I mean, I was texting with Mike just a couple days ago, not about this, about players. And obviously he's copping to making some type of mistake in some level. And, you know, the best thing in these kind of crisis situations is just, you know, you screwed up. Just come out. I think people accept
own up to
human
it.
That's, frailty.
Joe, you're so
I don't
right.
Think they accept the lying.
When he said, it's laughable.
Uh-huh.
I said, I'll see you in a week.
Right.
And when she released the resignation letter, clearly written by a PR firm, but we like Diana. She's a friend of the show.
Yeah.
But I knew, like, I'm like, man, I don't know. This could be a problem.
Yeah.
You're right. You just have to. And you've been through this with your guys, right? They make a mistake and you tell them to do what?
Well, years ago, I had a guy from the Chicago Bears who was a quarterback who got nailed for tested positive for steroids. And I had him go out. We did it was a big deal at the time. And we did a national press conference. And I had him go out there and just say, look in the camera. Just say, look, I made a mistake. You know, and then they came to me and they said, you know, what do you have to say? I said, look, he was a dummy. I love this kid, but he was a dummy. He made a mistake. And we move on. And the kid, his name was Jim Miller at the time, or still Jim Miller's his name. And he looked in the camera and said a great line. He goes, look, they said, are you doing steroids regularly? He says, no. He goes, I made a mistake. He goes, look, you've all seen me naked, and I don't see anybody throwing dollar bills at me. So, you know, talking about, like, I don't do this. Like, my body, you know, if I was doing steroids all the time, my body wouldn't look like this.
Right.
Right. So you got to own it.
Yeah.
Who was it? Phil, remind me when the Yankees were going through the steroids problem. He was a pitcher, and he was the one who admitted it immediately.
Andy Pettit.
Yeah. That's it.
He said, handled it perfect.
Immediately.
He said, I had an injury.
I wanted to come back.
I used it to come back from an injury.
I wanted to help the team.
Story was over.
Right. Nothing happened after that. Yep.
Everyone else who denied it, the story went on for a year.
Yep.
He and Roger Clemens were very close. We're still talking about Roger. Yeah. And like this one was never, it was like a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not a story anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody accepts lying. People accept human frailty and just go, you know, you made a mistake. I mean, this is not a great mistake considering they're both married and they both have kids. If, in fact, it was a mistake, which it appears to be. You know, Mike's a good guy. I mean, I'm not drinking buddies with him, but, you know, we're very respectful and friendly. And, you know, I like him. I like Diana. I mean, she's been texting me about, you know, different deals and all. And she, you know, she works hard. I don't know if there's anything beyond, you know, what you see, but, you know, Mike's a good guy. And I think, you know, it was a big deal for him to come out and say this today. And the problem is he says what he says today, which completely contradicts what she said.
Oh, boy.
That's the problem.
Yeah, get your story straight.
Yeah, well, they first both said there's nothing to see. And then he comes out and says, well, there are some tough conversations with family. And now he's missing a couple of days of the draft to go to counseling, correct?
Yeah.
Look, he said it without saying it, and she didn't own up to it. And the problem for her as a journalist is you lose credibility and you're lying. So the getting too close with sources and that type of thing. Look, I have buddies in the media that are, you know, some of these guys you see on television, you know, a couple of them have been down here to my events and things like that. And, you know, but I don't go to romantic resorts in Arizona with them.
That's, yeah, I hope not.
Now, the other thing, too, that's going to be tough on the other side is, all right, who hires her? And then if they do, when she does have a scoop,
right,
what's everyone thinking? And now I think people would be reluctant to give her information because there might be some inference that there could be a relationship going on.
Gotcha.
Like, I don't want that problem.
Yeah, Verbon, stay away.
It's a real problem for her. It's too bad.
She's going to be able to do like a podcast, something where it's not like hardcore reporting, and she's going to be able to, opine on subjects and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, you know, she has enough of a, you know, fan base and following that, you know, she might be able to make it in that. But, you know, for her to get hired as a sideline person at ESPN or a reporter, it's going to be really, really tough. And, but, you know, she's got enough, you know, Q rating that someone will, you know, like Bubba the Love Sponge might bring her on down in Florida to be part of his show or something like that. I don't
know. Yeah, that's, you know, not a great trajectory.
No, not at all. And it's, you know, she has to be sitting there right now and say, what just happened? And, you know, clearly, in my opinion, somebody had it out for one or both of them. And it could be because everybody seems to think it was a PI that took those pictures. And because that's not something that, you know, two grandparents sitting at the resort are doing with their cell phone, you know.
Right. And you had to get into the resort.
Right.
And yeah, one of the shots was taken from a rooftop where you had to have access to a room to get to the...
Yeah, it wasn't a Ring camera.
It was someone who knew they were going there.
Yeah.
And they had to be in one or the other's rooms to be together in that place from what I'm reading. And it's just not a good look. It's like, you know, so, you know, Mike obviously didn't know what the line was. And, you know, I've always felt like the line, if you're a married guy, is whatever you would do in front of your wife is okay. If you would dance with a woman in front of your wife, go ahead. If you would hug a woman in front of your wife, go ahead. But don't. That's where you draw the line, to me. And, like, that kiss cam thing, I think this is far worse than that kiss cam thing.
Oh, the couple, the Coldplay?
Yeah.
That one's more entertaining, though.
That was something you wanted to see on replay.
Yes. Right, but
in parodies of it,
they weren't away on a romantic retreat. They were in a company affair, and, you know, they got a little handsy with each other. And I'll tell you, I think that if they just didn't duck and they just
no one
there,
noticed.
Would have said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. There would have been an implosion with their families. But
not this level.
Not
yeah.
the planet.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Act normal.
Well, only if they were on TV because the families found out because it was on TV because they ducked.
Right.
And, you know, some these guys in Arizona, Mike and Diana, didn't duck. And there was no ducking because they didn't know they were being photographed.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, how after those photos were released, to own it, yes, but still to try to save your career if you're an NFL reporter. I don't know what you say.
I got the interview.
I think the only thing you could probably say is, you know, I'm having problems in my marriage and Mike's been a friend for years. We go back to Tennessee.
Right.
I was reporting with him back then and I needed his advice. And so,
that's a great one.
Else? I mean, you got to do something more than like, hey, I don't accept the narrative that's being out there.
Yeah.
And, I read that and I'm like, man, that's. It was mistake after mistake.
I'm writing yours down.
I thought what she did and when she threw her husband under the bus and said, you know, if my husband was beautiful, I would be posting about him. I have a very average husband. And I don't, you know, that, you maybe you say that to your girlfriends when you're out to lunch, but you don't say it on the Dan Patrick show, right?
No, but they scoured the internet to find everything she said over the last 10 years and find a clip here and a clip there. And people are gross.
They're pulling up tweets from 2017 to this day.
They're gross.
Microscope, yep.
Yeah. No question about that, but I still don't think it's appropriate for her to throw her husband under the bus like that in any forum.
Yeah.
And you're right about digging up the dirt. There's no question about that. But, you know, and then the six people that were with us, and these people have all disappeared. They're with Jimmy
Not
Hoffa
one.
Right
yeah,
now,
it was so. A real Big mistake, yeah. And then totally mishandled.
Yep.
Makes it even worse.
Complete
it was
disaster.
Gas on a fire.
Yes.
All right,
there
Joe.
There are a few times when you come out and just tell the truth in its unedited form. Do you suffer consequences like you would by lying after lying?
Yeah.
You could ask Richard Nixon that one.
Yeah. All right, Joe Linta, NFL agent. Have fun this weekend.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk soon. Thank
all right,
you.
Brother.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains April 24th through the 27th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.